Okay, the next performer is another person that I know through Shithole who just has delivered probably some of the most memorable, beautiful performances that I've ever seen in this city and in the 7 years that I've been here. And to top it off, she's like a really, really great person. Oh no! She's so wonderful. Arielle Atkins!
Hi, it's been a really rough week, and I'm really glad that Claire asked me to do this one so I could see her before she goes, because she's an incredible person, and two, because, I think I kind of need to get this off of my chest, which was kind of the same the last time I did this show. This is called No Matter What. My family and I have always been pretty tightly knit, unable to make do without the other. There is my father, a master sergeant in the Air National Guard who works on planes, wakes up every morning at 3:30 a.m. to go running with the dog and then hit the gym for weights. He grew up in Fraser and was the baby of his family, played basketball and read comics, which he would later introduce his children to, of whom themselves would each grow up to collect on their own. He loves to laugh and talk, has a heart of gold, and loves his wife, my mother, unconditionally. My mother is a buyer for FedEx and has an endless amount of shoes and clothes, a style untouched by any other woman I've ever seen, and intelligence far beyond me. She is strong in the way that all Black women have to be in order to survive, though she lets her armor down long enough to call her children chipmunks and kiss our cheeks until our faces are the same shade as her lipstick. She is the soul of our family. My brother is a photog and editor for the news station back home. He has a degree in film and a passion for anime and well-written characters of mystery and efficiency. He has my father's heart of gold, and though he'd never admit it, a desire to warm the hearts of everyone he meets. He understands the world around him differently from most, which adds to his insanely creative mind and can make literally anyone laugh. And then, of course, there's me. It's the four of us, as it always has been, and by that I mean that my parents were constant and reminding us that we were all we have and that no matter what, each of us would always be there for the other. And looking at my life, it's always been this way. Friday nights growing up were spent together playing board games or watching movies while enjoying my mother's cheese dip and boxes of candies that we were never allowed to finish. My parents always would rather spend a night in with their kids and each other than be anywhere else in the world, because they didn't drink and were not fans of late nights on the town, which was fine because my brother and I usually fell asleep around 7 or 9 ourselves, so we made perfect companions. I call my mother now for relationship advice and my father to discuss politics and people. My brother is still my best friend, and we talk endlessly about everything in between. And even now, when I go home, I see only them and rarely anyone else. When I moved to Chicago in 2009 for college, they drove me down. I remember saying goodbye to the three of them outside my dorm, standing on the sidewalk in front of our big white Yukon, feeling smaller than I ever had. My father gave me a long, tight hug and said, "No matter what it is, if you call, we'll be here. We'll make it out here any way we can. All you need to do is call." We are not without our problems. We have our elephants to attend, skeletons in closets, buried memories, and disagreements of which only one am I able to discuss publicly. My parents don't believe in mental health. I struggle with major depressive disorder, severe anxiety, and PTSD. My parents call it stress and connect my mental decline to my loss of faith. We've had countless arguments over God, depression, and my own capabilities. My friends and I joke often over how they'd rather see a fabricated idea that they have of me over who I actually am currently and deal with what comes with the truth. It's an ongoing battle that I've grown weary of fighting. After about 2 months of a decline mentally, suicidal ideations, constant self-harm, Tuesday, November 8th, 2016, I called my mother to tell her that I was unstable again and checking myself into a hospital. I told her in advance because 2 years before, after my lack of appearance on Facebook for 3 days, she panicked wondering where I was. She sounded surprised, somewhat annoyed, and of course, worried. What does this mean? Why do you need to go to a hospital? What about work? What is going on? What could be so bad? She told me that I needed to pray, read my Bible, get my faith back. I told her that I was sick and needed a safe place to heal. I left the conversation frustrated and shaken, still in disbelief at how my situation is seen by my parents. I spent 7 days in the hospital. I got out this past Wednesday. But after 3 days in, my parents made their way to Chicago to see me. They dropped all of their plans and made the 10-hour drive, got a hotel downtown just to see me for 2 hours a day for 2 days. On the last day, my mother covered my cheeks in plum kisses. My father hugged me tight and long and said, "No matter what, we're here for you. We love you. All you ever need to do is call." It's not a cross country. A 10-hour drive from Memphis to Chicago can barely be called a trek. And even though we don't see eye to eye and they see my illness as something that could be easily fixed on my knees, they are still willing to cross the world to tell their baby girl they love her, no matter what.
Thank you. Man, I thank you so much for that. That was beautiful. And I mean, in my 7 years here, I've had a number of friends check themselves in, and it's always a blessing to all of us that helps keep them here, and that's what we love.